Welcome back to another Edge God In podcast. Thank you for pushing the pause button today to Edge God In. Our mission at Edge God In is to champion your human potential in Christ. We do that by using different methodologies and our main focus through the Holy Scriptures. We do pull in some adult education theory, which helps you, the listener, figure out the best way to retain what you're going to hear today. We also use stress management tips when needed and when they come up in the topic of discussion. Today's topic is entitled, How to Stop Grumbling and Fault Finding. Do you recognize yourself with either of those two topics, grumbling and fault finding? Perhaps you're a grumbler. Perhaps you're a recovered grumbler or a fault finder. Our learning objective is to, when you walk away from today's podcast, it's our intention that you strengthen your relationships in Christ by what you will learn today, that it will be, you will be moved to have some tools to strengthen your relationships in Christ. You'll do this by learning two ways to overcome grumbling and fault finding. Directly from the Holy Scriptures, which have power, my brothers and sisters in Christ. The Holy Scriptures are sharper than a double-edged sword. They pierce our heart, our soul, our marrow, and they go right to the place that evokes that desire to change and become more and more like Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And his spirit dwells within us if you have accepted him and are following him. He's with everybody. So if you're tuning into this podcast and you haven't met Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I invite you to keep searching and asking, seeking and knocking, to invite the presence of Jesus into your life. It's a simple prayer and it requires just a willingness. As Jesus says, just a mustard seed amount of faith. Lord Jesus, come into our hearts. We have sinned against you. We are grumblers and we are fault finders. As much as we intend not to be, as soon as we run into a human being that tends to trigger us in any ways, grumbling and fault finding will take center stage. Forgive us for our sins and come into our lives. Be the Lord of our lives. Show us what it's like to love the way that you love us. Help us to remember that you have come to set us free, because it is for freedom that you have set us free. Help us to stand firm and not allow ourselves to be burdened by the yoke of slavery. Save us, Lord. We believe you are the Savior of the world, and by your cross and resurrection, you have set us free. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight for the edification and for your glory in today's podcast. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's jump in to a tiny little book that perhaps you haven't read in a while, or maybe you came across it a long time ago and it just kind of slipped out of your mind. This is the last book in the New Testament right before the book of Revelations. This book was written by Jude, who says of himself that he is a servant of Jesus Christ. It's only one chapter. It's an easy read. So your homework from today's podcast is to read the book of Jude. And before you read the book of Jude, I'm going to invite you to do three things. And this is part of how do you learn new information and how do you transfer it and sustain it in your life. So be very intentional before we jump in today. And after you read the book of Jude, simply ask, what's for me, Holy Spirit? Give me one to three things that you want me to take action on to draw me closer to Christ. So what are those one to three things that the Holy Spirit moves you to take action on? Based on what you'll hear today in today's podcast, as well as when you go before the throne of God reading the book of Jude, ask for that wisdom. When we ask with confidence and without doubt, you will receive that wisdom and knowledge. As we learned in a previous podcast about Solomon's prayer, Lord, don't give me wealth, or long life. Give me insight, wisdom, and discernment. God is moved by that prayer. So Lord, give us wisdom, insight, and discernment as we jump into this very small little book located at the back of the New Testament that is packed full of wisdom and discernment. Help us to tune in to what is for us. So it starts out, the book of Jude starts out, verse 1. Jude, he's saying his name, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James. So what does that mean? Typically, the word servant means that you're less than. You're considered kind of at the chain of authority. Your authority is not very high when you refer to yourself as a servant. However, this is the shift. He says, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ. That's the game changer. And you too can use that authority. A servant of Jesus Christ. A servant of Jesus Christ. That you can actually use that when you're moving forward in life, when you feel less than in any situation. Understanding what that means. It means that you have status instantly by your connection with Jesus Christ. So right away, Jude is setting up his status here. He says, I am a servant of Jesus Christ. So he says he's a slave, right, of the anointed one, of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And rather than self-deprecation that often happens, this flips it instantly into sharing in the authority of Jesus Christ. By doing this, Jude makes it very clear that he's not operating under the authority of the emperor or any high official. He's operating under an alternative kingdom, the kingdom of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the kingdom of God. You are too, as a follower of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So remember your identity. That's a key piece in transformation. Remember whose you are. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. God chose you, knows you by name. So this is a powerful distinction that you can apply to your own life. Now, wait a minute. I'm not going to feel less than in this situation or give power or authority away to someone's opinion or conclusion. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ, a bondservant. That means I walk side by side. And Jesus says himself, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. So that's even upping that invitation into the shared authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth and using his name. This kind of sets up his whole one chapter that Jude writes here, because then he doesn't waste any time because he jumps in right away and starts talking about what's going to happen to godly men. We're not going to focus on that today. We're going to focus, and that's the first 16 scriptures in the book of Jude. That's where you can go before the Holy Spirit and say, all right, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to take from these first 16 verses in Jude? We're going to pick it up at verse 17 in the book of Jude. But dear friends, remember that the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you in the last times, so this is giving a heads up, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. If you've been listening into the Edge God In podcast, you know that I'm a big fan of understanding what does that word really mean? Because then that gives us clarity of focus for accuracy of response. So what does scoffers mean? So if you were a scoffer, if you met a scoffer, that's someone who mocks, makes fun of, has a sarcasm, cuts people down, and treats someone with contempt. What does contempt mean? It means that you're mean. Some definitions include vile. So first and foremost, it's often the case when we listen to a podcast, we think, ooh, this would be really good for so-and-so. I'm going to invite you to come back to self-reflection, because you can't give out what you haven't mastered within. And Jesus, first and foremost, said, do not judge. Don't look at the speck in someone else's eye when you got a log in your own. So when you're reading through the book of Jude, just ask the Holy Spirit to show you, okay, what do you want to shift, Lord, so that I can be more available to your love and forgiveness in my life? Therefore, I can step more fully into one of our foundational verses at Edge God In, Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm. Don't allow yourself to be burdened by scoffing behavior. Stand firm and don't allow yourself to be burdened by scoffing behavior. What you give out, you end up experiencing within. It comes from within, goes outside, comes back and smacks you. Jesus is all about, he's after you today. I'm just saying, Jesus is after you today. He's after me today. In this area of scoffers, in the end times, people will be scoffers. When you recognize it in your own life, you're going to be able to see it very clearly in other people's lives. And that's what Jesus was talking about. First, take the plank out of your own eye. Then you'll be able to see clearly and have what Solomon asked for, that wisdom, insight, and knowledge and understanding to guide the people entrusted to your care in a very humble way, speaking the truth in love. So, first part, verse 18 of the book of Jude. They said to you, in the last times, there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you. Satan is having a heyday these days. And the methodology he is using is scoffing, mocking, cutting down, treating people with contempt, being mean, vile. He's using that to do one thing. Divide. John 10:10, I have come that you may have life. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. How does he kill, steal, and destroy? By creating animosity within our hearts toward one another. And that divides us. Jesus knows that when we unite our hearts in him, there's nothing we can't do. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instinct and do not have the spirit. If you want more about that, the difference between the spirit and the flesh, read Galatians 4, 5, and even 6. These are men who divide you. And I'm going to bring this inside the castle. Pull up the drawbridge. Where do you feel divided within? Where you know what you want to do, and it's basically Romans chapter 7. I know what I want to do, but I can't do what I keep wanting to do because I keep following the flesh within me. That's what I keep doing. And if you read the dissertation of Paul in Romans chapter 7, then you'll get that clarity of focus and relate to that. I know what I want to do in God. I want to trust you, Jesus. I want to know, Lord, that you have my back, that you have plans to prosper me, not to harm me. There's no reason to be afraid. There's no reason to give my power away to what other people think or are saying, because I am your bondservant. I am your friend. I am your ambassador. You are making your appeal through me for your glory, not mine. It's when we become self-centered, self-focused, that we lose sight of that freedom that Jesus died to give us, freedom from self. Anyone that comes after me must die to themselves. Why? He didn't say that to be mean or nasty. He said that to free us. Happiness returns when you stop thinking of self. What other people think, what other people are saying, not saying, that creates that division. Being led by the flesh, needing to be seen, acknowledged, understood, needing to be right, liked, all of those shiny objects outside of you and me that have the tendency to create animosity and produce scoffing behavior, mocking behavior, treating people with contempt, basically, simply put, being mean. And that comes from disconnect, first and foremost, from the love of God. And I've mentioned this story before, but a good friend of mine who was diagnosed with advanced cancer just several months after I was, and she ended up living for 8 months afterwards. Before she passed and transitioned, I was in her bed in the hospital, just laying with her and praying with her. And we were talking about how Jesus was appearing to her several times for three nights in a row and reminding her of things that she said she wanted to share. So I took my pen and started writing them down. I included some of them in my first book called Hearing His Whisper, With Every Storm Jesus Comes To. And I repeat this as much as possible because she asked me to do this and Jesus was asking her. So one of the things that she said is when people are unkind, the Lord told me that it's simply because of one thing. They become disconnected from how much God loves and adores them. That's what brought Peter to his knees and Paul. That's what casted out seven demons from Mary Magdalene's heart, love. The sin meets the Savior. This is what Jesus calls us to every single day. Remember whose you are. Step away from those ungodly desires within you. How do we do that? We do that by following Jesus' lead. He led with love constantly. When we're lacking it, borrow it from his heart constantly. Dear God, give me more love. So my friend reminded me of that as the Lord was drawing near to her before she transitioned into his arms. People are unkind because they forget how much God loves and adores them. So a little coaching practice for you as you walk away from this podcast is to watch you do life the next couple of days and have high noticing. Be aware of what pushes your buttons, what causes or produces unkind behavior from you to others. That's the first step of freedom, is first acknowledging. What is your name? That's how Jesus drove out demons first. What is your name? Call it out. Is it fear? There's always a fear behind a negative emotion. What am I afraid of? Now, many people that are driven by the flesh will say, I'm not afraid of anything, right? I've said that before. Nothing, not afraid of anything. Dismantle it. What is it that you are worried that you're not going to get? Or what is it that you are protecting inside because someone triggered it? That's an indication that you're living by the flesh versus the spirit. It's a division, as you read about in the book of Jude. It's a division. It's being divided within. Ask the Holy Spirit to remind you in those moments. Holy Spirit, help me to encounter God's love in this moment. Whenever you feel an emotion, which is your body's response to your thought life, you were thinking something, you felt threatened, something threatened you, created some form of fear, self-doubt, worry that evokes the emotion, I'm under attack. When next time that happens, simply pause, take a deep breath, breathe in the Holy Spirit, exhale the tension within your body, and simply invite the Holy Spirit in. Holy Spirit, remind me, remind my mind that God adores me and loves me. And watch what starts to happen with the transformation. Seek God's love first and foremost. That's what transforms behaviors. So Jude goes on to say, but you, dear friends, keep yourselves or build yourself up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Okay, so this is part of the learning objective here. Learn two ways to overcome grumbling and fault finding. Grumbling and fault finding. In the end times, there will be grumblers and fault finders. And this is actually in Jude chapter 1, verse 16, which is right before 17. So I left out the verse 16. Let's go back a little bit here, because this is talking about the end times of what's going to happen and that God's going to judge the ungodly acts of ungodly people, people that are disconnected from God's love, and of all the harsh words spoken. That's a big one. We'll be accountable for every thoughtless word spoken. This is a repeated warning to us. Watch your mouth. Watch your tongue. These men are grumblers and fault finders. That's the topic of today's podcast. And I left it out. This is the topic of today's podcast, how to stop grumbling and fault finding. This is from the reference of Jude chapter 6 or Jude verse 16. These men are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and they flatter others for their own advantage. What's the theme in that one verse? Self. self-focused, flattering others for my own advantage. Totally have done that. Totally guilty. Fault finders, guilty. Grumbler, guilty. This is when we disconnect from the lover of our soul. We will be tossed into grumbling behavior, fault finding, and then we become scoffers. It starts with a little grumbling here and there, a little fault finding here and there, and then it starts to create its own little pain body inside of us that Satan uses to go from dormant to live to create scoffing behavior. You mock, you cut people down. Oh, I'm just kidding. Watch out for that one. Satan uses that one a lot. You'll toss out a cutting remark, and then you see that it wasn't positively received, and you'll use the phrase, I'm just kidding. When we use sarcasm, the original etymology of the word sarcasm is to cut, to tear the flesh. Satan uses that to divide. So be attentive, because God's after you today, to sift some of the behaviors that are coming from just a little grumbling here, a little fault finding there, and it's flipping you into that ungodly behavior of scoffing, mocking, insulting, being mean. So bringing it back to the two ways to overcome grumbling and fault finding, we flip to verse 20 that says, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. First thing, that's an action, to build yourself up in your most holy faith. How do you do that? I have a coaching question for you based on that. When you get up in the morning, what's the first thing you focus on? These are behaviors that you can identify and adjust so that you can overcome grumbling and fault-finding behavior. It's not a happy place, I'm just telling you. You know that well. Grumbling and fault-finding is not a happy place. You're not joyful. The sense of humor drops out the back door. First solution, build yourselves up in the most holy faith. Take a look at your schedule. Take a look at your day. Do you start your day on your knees? Do you begin with God? Do you pull your conversation with God throughout the day? He desires that communion with you. Why? Because he adores you. God adores you. The second learning strategy to overcome grumbling and fault finding is to keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. This is our post, my brothers and sisters in Christ. We are here for God, by God, to bring glory to God. We are Christ's ambassadors. He's making his appeal through us. This is our calling. This is in Jude verse 21. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. My friend, when she transitioned on her deathbed here, transitioned into the heart of Christ, into the presence of Christ, she was getting very, very clear on things that didn't make sense to her in life. Anything that is frustrating you or that does not make sense, I can assure you of this. I had six friends pass away from the same disease God allowed me to conquer, because he's not done with me yet. And each one, in some form, at the end, got incredible clarity around things that they did not understand. That's just the beginning. Though we look through a veil right now, soon we will understand face to face. So when we have faith, and that's the first call to action, build yourself up in holy faith. So when you're feeling doubt creeping in, speak back. Talk back to that, because that's where Satan gets his ground inside, to make you a fault finder, a grumbler, and a scoffer. Talk back. No. Jesus, I trust in you. You take care of everything. Jesus, I trust in you. You take care of everything. Speak back and declare faith in Christ. And pray in the Holy Spirit, so that faith is connected to prayer. Right there in verse 20, build yourselves up in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. They walk hand in hand, prayer and being able to build yourself up in faith. So talk back. Keep yourselves in God's love. The behaviors that go around this is an invitation for self-reflection. What's important to you in life? Do your behaviors align with what you value most? If there was a fire and your house was burning down, in fact, a dear friend of mine, was just sharing with me, she had arson. Her entire house was burnt to the ground. The only thing that was left was a picture of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It's known as the Divine Mercy picture. I'm sure you've seen it at some point. It's a picture of Jesus with rays coming out of his heart. He's touching his heart. It's the Divine Mercy. It was the only thing that wasn't burnt up. Everything else was ashes. This is so metaphorical, my brothers and sisters in Christ, because when life hits and sometimes your whole sense of identity is burnt to the ground. My Earth School class was going through advanced cancer and divorce at the same time. That reality hit me when I looked at myself in the mirror without breasts, eyebrows, eyelashes, hair, or my marriage. Being stripped of all of that, yet the one thing that didn't get stripped or burnt down was Jesus Christ of Nazareth within me to remind me of whose I am and what I'm not. I'm not my hair. I'm not my struggle, simply put. And you're not either. You're not your struggle. Jesus is drawing near today. Silence the screams of the world, the shiny objects that are distracting you from hearing that reminder, I am here. I adore you. Draw near. Jesus remains always constant. I promise never to leave you or forsake you. So as you up your faith with prayer in the Holy Spirit and keep yourself in God's love, how? By making conscious habits that allow for space for you to connect with how much God loves you. It's as simple as that. Creating mini retreats throughout your day to remind your mind of what your soul always knows. God adores you and he is merciful to you. When you fall, not if, but when you fall and you stumble into grumbling and fault-finding behaviors, or perhaps you're scoffing a bit, begin again as quickly as possible, because the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. And his promise to us as we continue to throw ourselves into his lap with confidence and trust is to bring us to eternal life in verse 21. Then it's interesting that verse 21 flows into verse 22. And this goes back to the statement, you cannot give out to other people what you have not experienced within. You want to experience more love in your life? Be loving and receive God's love for you. If that's how it flows. It flows from God's love for you. You encounter that love, and then you give that out to the world around you. There's another Edge Got In Bible study. If you haven't listened to it, it's called A Three-Step Prison Break. It talks about how the people that encountered Christ, what did that process look like? The three-step prison break. Keep yourselves in God's love. Wait for his mercy. Then you'll be able to step into verse 22. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupt flesh. So experience God's mercy and love. Build yourselves up by using prayer to up your faith factor. And that's another Edge Got In podcast, up your faith factor. And keep yourself in God's love. How? By consciously doing that, doing those behaviors that give room and space for you to experience God's love. I'm amazed that when I commit to, at the top of every hour, closing my eyes, breathing deeply, and simply saying, dear God, remind me of how much you love me right now. Because then that flips me out of any negative behavior, fault-finding, grumbling, scoffing behavior into higher ground, where I could show up with the emotional intelligence of Christ, who led with love, taught with love, saved with love, because he knew that judgment repelled and love transformed. That's how we snatch others from the fire, as Jude is saying. That's how we save them. We don't save them. We plant the seeds. Christ saves them. But they're saved by our witness of love. Let the world know how much you love me by how you love each other. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupt flesh. Now, we'll end today's podcast with this. And this is how Jude ends the book of Jude. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forever. Amen. We just went through pretty much the whole book of Jude, other than the first 15 verses. Now, see, that's a good little cliffhanger, because perhaps you're curious about what does Jude have to say about what's going to happen at the end? What are his instructions? And what do I need to watch out for? That's the first 15 verses of the book of Jude. So that's your homework. Along with observing your behavior and consciously creating mini retreats for yourself, where you close your eyes and invite the Holy Spirit in to remind you of how much God adores and loves you, because then that will catapult you into what Jude invites us to do, which are the two ways to overcome grumbling and fault finding. That, my dear brothers and sisters, is faith, building yourself up in holy faith by praying, and keeping yourself in God's love. It all walks hand in hand. In order to keep yourself in God's love, prayer is essential, because that's the connection where you can feel, see, visually see in the beauty of things around you, hear in the beauty of things around you, and respond with Christ's love within you. It's a powerful transformation. Invite him in, give him permission to override your fleshly desires when you feel hurt and disconnected. Come back. Come back to the lover of your soul. Sweet Jesus, we surrender ourselves to you. Without your strength and our awareness of how much you adore us, nothing good comes out of our behavior. And as we reconnect to that love and understand how much you love and adore us, and as we bring before you the behavior that doesn't allow that sense of love to be acknowledged within us because we're mucking around in darkness, we give you permission to override us, bring us back. We want to begin again, and we choose you over any shiny object or trinket that the world is offering us at this moment in time. Protect us from grumbling and fault finding, and give us the strength to overcome by building ourselves up in holy faith. Show us what that looks like, feels like, and sounds like, and pray. Give us the strength and urge us, move us to pray more and talk to you and bring everything before you so that we can keep ourselves in your love. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Interesting little fun fact about grumbling, by the way, and I've mentioned this before in other podcasts. When you complain or grumble, or you're in the presence of people who are complaining and grumbling, which just turn on the news and you'll see tons of that, it actually shrinks your brain. Something called the hippocampus actually shrinks, and you become less intelligent. Just a little fun fact. Something to think about as you're going to move through your journey with Jude. Do you want to shrink your brain? Embrace the presence of God and be transformed and renewed in your mind. Do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12:1-2. Enjoy your gift of life and give them heaven out there. There's enough of the other side going on. You can join our podcast at edgegodin.com. Probably the quickest way is your device, your phone. Just go to the podcast app and click in or search for Edge God In, not out, in. And then you can subscribe and you'll be notified. My co-host and I, it's our intention to put something out as the Holy Spirit guides us every Friday. and we usually alternate back and forth. You can also join our Facebook page community at Edge Got In on Facebook, and enjoy your gift of life. Look forward to the next podcast.